tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy.
Welcome to the Hour of Hope, the program that focuses on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being with me on this wonderful day. I am Pastor Matthew, the pastor of Safe Harbor Church. I also run a couple YouTube channels called By the Bible and End Times Prophecies, if you want to check those out. It's great to be here again. We're going to be focusing on the music of Megan Tibbetts. She plays a harp and has a lot of neat, some music's original, some are... She does what's already out there, so I hope you're blessed by that. And of course, we're going to be in John 16 for our Bible study. Yay! John 16. You want to get there? We're going to be starting in verse number 17 in a little bit. But how are you doing today? I hope you're doing well. I hope you're excited to be here. Remember, apradio.org, that's the radio station. And if you want to reach out and make requests, they'll do all kinds of wonderful wonderful things for you. So please take advantage of this local radio station in the Aleutians. It's located, the HQ is in Sandpoint, but it goes out to many different islands. Let's start in prayer and let's get into a little more music by Megan Tibbetts. Her last name is spelled T-I-B-B-I-T-S. Megan, M-E-G-A-N, T-I-B-B-I-T-S. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Bless this program. I pray we would be encouraged with the joy we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I can feel it bubbling up in me, whispering of purpose. I can sense there's something more that's hovering on the horizon. In hopeful expectation, so I'll wait just
Best decision I have made. You're the only constant in my change. I get knocked down, but you pick me up. I know I've made a mess of things, and somehow I'll probably do it all again. But you're not fazed. Sometimes I need reminding. all in your hands. Your time is, just take a breath. It's okay, I'm okay. When it feels like the whole world's caving, you say again that I'm still worth saving. When everything I try keeps failing, you lift my head up, tell me I'm loved. Been running fast, trying to chase perfection. You slow me down, give me your perspective. You're not worried about my success, you just want my heart. That's who you are. You're the God who fashioned every heart. You know the end, the middle, and the start. All my mistakes, you're never running out of grace. Sometimes I need reminding, it's all in your hands, your time in. You're in the big and small things, in all things. When it feels like the whole world's caving, you say again that I'm still worth saving. When everything I try keeps failing, you lift my head up, tell me I'm loved. Been running fast, trying to chase perfection. Slow me down, give me your perspective. You're not worried about my success, you just want my heart. That's who you are. You just want my heart. That's who you are. No, you'll never let me down. Don't even think that you know how. I know you figured out. Ooh. No, you'll never let me down. Don't even think that you know how. I know you have it figured out. Ooh. When it feels like the whole world's caving, you say again that I'm still saving. When everything I try keeps failing, you lift my head up, tell me I'm loved. Been running fast, trying to chase perfection. You slow me down, give me your perspective. You're not worried about my success, you just want my heart. That's who you are.
Isn't that encouraging, that music? I Will Rise, That's Who You Are. She focuses on who is God. Today, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about joy because we're finishing up John 16, where he talks about the joy that we have in Jesus Christ and the joy they will have after his resurrection. It's found in John chapter 16. We're picking up in 17, where he's explaining to them what's going to happen. He's getting ready to be arrested. Judas is on the way to lead the guards back to him, and he's having a final time where he's trying to get things through to the disciples. What would you ask Jesus if you knew this was the last time to talk to him before he died? How would you feel about that? Interesting thing to think about. Well, remember, the big thing, though, is he died for us, rose from the dead, and we are forever grateful. We need to express to him gratitude. I was thinking about that this week. Gratitude is altitude, I heard that said.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a
passage right now. Right now, I've got my Bible open. I trust that you have your Bible open. And it's John 17, verse I'm sorry, John 16, verse 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." Then said therefore, "What is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Let's stop right there. And I want to talk about joy. And not just how the world has it, but how Jesus has it. Did you catch what he said? He says, "A little while, you're not going to see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father." He's talking about that, yeah, his absence. He's going to be gone. He's going to die on the cross. After that, he's going to rise from the dead, or he did rise from the dead, and he goes to the right hand of the Father. But his whole point, he says, in a little bit, you're just not going to be able to physically see me again. The disciples had been with him for those 3 years, and now he won't see him again. And then he says, now, are you wondering about that? You kind of wondering? Then said they, "What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith." So I'd read that, but the idea, they really heard him say a little while he's going to be gone. They couldn't even fathom that he'd been with them for all this time. Now Jesus has been telling him he's going to die and rise from the dead, but they didn't hear him. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said, he's like, he knows they're wondering about this. Probably didn't use his God sense there, even though he did, because obviously it makes sense they would want to know that. He says, "Are you asking among yourself a little while, and you're not going to see me?" And then verily, verily, over 30 times he mentions in John, that means tune into this point. Pick it up. Hey, this is, pay attention. "I say unto you," and here we get into the first point about the world. He said, "You're going to weep." And that word is only found here in the Gospels, in this place. But he says, and you're going to lament. That means really deep sorrow. "But the world shall rejoice." The world is going to rejoice, but you're going to sorrow. Now look at what Jesus' joy. The world is going to be excited because they're killing Jesus. Look at what he says about joy. "And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into" what? Joy. Joy comes from sorrow. That means that he's doing an amazing work. Jesus can do that. From your sorrow can become joyful, joy. He's going to not replace it. He's going to turn it into joy. Joy, we're going to talk about in just a minute, but I want you to catch some things he says. Out of this, it means sorrow has meaning for the believer. And it also, what I love about this, it shows in when we're sorrowful and comes joy, it shows the eternal nature of us, that we have a relationship with God. "A woman, when she is," verse 21, "in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered out of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." So a couple of things. He's bringing into perspective about that relationship we would have. He says, it's just like this. When you get to see me, when you, that it's like a woman who has a baby. It's so painful. But when the baby's born, you get the joy of holding that child. And also he says, now he's going to start painting a little bit more of the picture of the joy that comes from Jesus Christ. He says, did you notice it? He says, your heart, it comes from your heart. Look at it. "But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice." This is not an external happiness. This is an internal experience with the Lord. And he says, you're not, the joy is not, no man taketh from you. This is real. It cannot be taken away. Let's jump on these I questions. First of all, the joy he provides is immutable, meaning, I'm going to give you some big words, but you'll understand, it doesn't change over time. We all know everything changes over time, but not the joy Jesus gives. It's inviolate. It's safe from desecration, from isolation, from injury. In other words, you can't stop it. You can't stop. It's not going to be desecrated. It's not going to be injured. And then we got a couple other indivisible. I can't say that word. It's indefensible. I thought it was an R. I got to read my writing. And what that means is it cannot be lost or annulled. It can't be, you know, it can't be lost. You can't lose this joy. Improvisus, unable to be affected by improvises, outside attacks, indefensible. So those are, I hope that made sense. Basically, it's not going, nothing can stop this joy you have gotten. And now he's going to flesh it out a little more. And he says in verse 30 through 23 of chapter 16 of John, in that day you shall ask me nothing. So this joy comes from Jesus. And we see it, how it plays out. Look at this. This is amazing. He says, in that day, you shall ask me nothing. So you've been asking about this question. Verily, verily, again, that word, verily, verily, pay attention to this. I say unto you, whosoever ye shall ask the Father my name, he shall give it you. A couple things. He's talking about ask more than answering, asking a question than desiring to get something. The idea of you have this relationship with the Father. That's joyful. That's an extension of the joy. And then hitherto, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. The idea of the Father relationship, he provides for you, and that brings great enjoyment. If you have a child, you know when they're doing well, you're great. You're excited when you're able to put a smile on their face. Everything's for that kid. When that doesn't happen, you're discouraged. And the idea of your joy is going to be full when you see the Father provide for you. I love that. And then he says, he said, in my name, did you get that? That's position, that's authority. If you go up to the Haas Castle and you say, I'm coming in King Charles' name, they're going to let you in. But if you say, I'm coming up in Bobby Joe's, whoever that is, they're like, no, you got to have a authority. You got to have a position. You got to have a name. And he's like, you got that because you can do it in my name. I love that. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. You're going to have real understanding of God. He says you're going to have joy because you're going to have real understanding of God. It's not, you can always tell religion versus what Jesus is talking about. Religion, it's all confusing and it's fearful and I don't, but this is like him explaining it in a real way. Verse 26, that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Next thing is Jesus prays for you. He's taking care of you. He's interceding for you. That's awesome about the joy. You have a smile because you know Jesus is talking to the Father about it. But also notice for the Father, 27 of chapter 16 of John, for the Father himself loveth you. The joy comes because you're loved by God. And have believed that I came out from God. You know who Jesus is. I came forth from the Father and come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. That's really cool. He's talking about who he is. Now, this joy is exercised when you believe. Notice what they say. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speaketh thou plainly, speaketh no proverbs. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou cometh from God, forth from God. They believed he knew all things. They believed he came from God. There was a turning point in this book that now they believed, and we need to ask ourselves if we believed. Now, just because they believe doesn't mean they're mature or they get all the big picture, because here's what Jesus says in verse 31. Do ye now believe? He says, do you really believe? Because, behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. He's saying you're gonna, I'm gonna be alone, but I'm gonna be with the Father. Don't forget that. And then he finishes up with this amazing promise, the joy and peace that we have in Christ. These things have I spoken unto you, chapter 14, 15, 16, that in me ye might have peace. Now, I'm in a book I wrote, I made a note of what, if it's going to be really true, it has to have some qualities. First of all, true peace has to be available to all. Jesus is saying, in me you might have peace. Everyone can have Jesus if they believe. He said, this peace I'm promising is available to all. In the world, you shall have tribulations. It has to be in the world, but not of the world. I love that he doesn't do like the Buddhist that says, get away from pain. He says, you're going to go through pain, tribulation, trials, but that's where the peace shows up. The next thing I notice is it's in him. It's not corrupted in the world. And finally, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. It impacts everything. And he says, because bottom line, I have overcome the world. That's a military conquest, and we still reap the benefits of that. It's the idea of he's overcome, he's conquered the world. So there it is, his sermon on peace. I hope you're thinking about that. Do you have that kind of peace? Notice I didn't say a world like the world does, because he had said earlier, the world's going to rejoice, you're going to sorrow. I'm going to turn that sorrow into joy. You may be sorrowful today, but you need to look to Christ. He can give you the peace that passes all understanding, that joy, because it's found in him, not in this world, not through a course, but through him. If you want to pray with me right now, whatever you're going through, and let's commit to the Lord's. Tell the Lord, say, Lord, I want that peace. I believe you died for me. You rose from dead. I believe you're a conqueror. You're an overcomer. I thank you, and I look forward to growing in that peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer and you want that peace, I want you to send me an email and say, I prayed the prayer. I really believe I've got that peace, and I will send you a free book. It's mathewvroman@gmail.com. It doesn't cost anything. If you say, I need to know more about how to grow in that peace, I'll send you a book. Just send it, Matthew Broman, reach out to me, Safe Harbor Church. I'll make sure you get that gift. That's a way of being a blessing to you and helping you grow in that relationship you just started. Well, let's finish off with some music, and then I'm going to continue to do something that I started, I think, last week. At the end of the program, I'm just going to play some Christian comedians just so you can finish off by laughing. And I hope this was a blessing. I hope you enjoyed Megan Tibbett's music. Hope you enjoyed the Bible study. Most of all, I hope it renewed your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. If you need to reach out, reach out. It's M-A-T-H-E-W-B as in Victor, R-O-M-A. Yeah. God bless you. Have a good week. It's Pastor Matthew, Safe Harbor Church, and you've been listening to the Hour of Hope. Enjoy. The comedian is Tim Hawkins. Hilarious, hilarious individual. He's a Christian comedian. God bless. Have a good week. And remember, Jesus Christ is the way to God, and he's the one that you can find hope no matter what you're going through. He died.
To the Lamb, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. Creation cries, holy. walk in freedom. And if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be holy, holy forever. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your
hour, telling me that you were with me all the time. I have climbed into your presence on the mountain. I have basked within the radiance of your smile. I have feasted at your table as you held me there. Your reflection on my face, 'cause I'm your child. All I want is Jesus. Nothing satisfies me like you do. Abba, my Father, draw me to the very heart of you.
a place next to your heart in the holies. That's the place where, Lord, I want to stay. There are times when in my searching I have found you there, but all too quickly then those moments slip away. There's a day when what I now see only darkly, I'll see plainly as the bright and morning sun. As my hand slips through to part the veil you rent for me, your glory fills my soul and bids me through it all. Your love, it chases after me. It finds me where I hide. The dark is just a place for you to overpower with light. Your grace has made
totally do comedy. Just talk about your life, man. I do. I just talk about how I just grew up, never got good groceries. We never got good groceries. Always got discount groceries. We did. My mom was frugal. Kids frugal. That's a German word. It means...
Are those your dreams? Not anymore. You need to find new dreams.
You know, my mom always went to discount grocery stores. You can always tell us a discount grocery store by the name. Sack and Save. Sack a lot. Lot of sack. Sack of crap. You know one of these places? Got to bring your own box cutter if you want groceries. Does anybody work here? You remember those old grocery stores, the bathrooms from the back? How creepy was that? Go back through the gray doors. There's like an illegal dogfight going on in the corner. That's my dead uncle from 40 years ago. Always got discount generic groceries. That's what we got. Generic groceries. So it was in a black and white package. No artwork. It's like some kind of homeschool project, you know? No color, just black and white, generic. Always had a different name for something you wanted, but you never got. My friends did. I didn't. Like, my friends got Cheetos. We got orange puffy sticks. That's what we got. Never got hamburger helper. It was beef assistant. That's what they call it. Not a very good assistant. It's like, Mommy, I want Wheat Thins. Salty brown squares. Right in the cart, sweetie. How about Dr. Pepper? Dr. Thunder, honey. You're going to love Dr. Thunder. Tastes just like Dr. Pepper with a little bit of garlic in it. You're going to love it, sweetie. It's an acquired taste. So's battery acid. Can we get some normal soda? Oh, then she got Shasta. Remember Shasta? Anybody remember Shasta Cola? 10 cans for a dime. How'd they stay in business? Shasta had all the flavors, man. Grape, cherry, lemon, lime, ranch, Thousand Island. You remember those? Worst was, never got Oreos. We got Hydrox. Remember Hydrox? That's not the name of a cookie. That's the name of an acne medication, for crying out loud. That white stuff's not cream. That's zit juice from some middle schooler on a Sunday morning. That's what that is. I know. It's gross. I agree. I love cereal, but I never got my good cereal. Never got good cereal. My friends would spend the night. Hey, dude, you got any Cheerios? We got toasted holes. Can I? Let me get them down. They're a 10-pound bag. All right. Santa Claus is coming to town. Yeah, we use it for a beanbag chair on movie night. I hated toasted holes. There's never a toy at the bottom of toasted holes. Just a coupon for another bag of stinking toasted holes. 8 more years of hell. Tasted like Ezekiel bread with milk on it. That's what it tasted like. Some of you are having flashbacks right now. Here's another thing, worship pastors. You wonder why men don't sing a lot in church sometimes. I think I know why. Because a lot of songs written today are written with a female's way of expressing love, right? Men and women express love differently. So sometimes we just don't understand it. That's not how we express love, so we don't sing as much. You know, a lot of songs written today are like, you know, I want to see your face. I want to touch your face. I want to get to know you. And guys are like, what? I mean, I love him. I don't want to touch his face. That's creepy. Dude, I got visitors here. Don't make me sing that. And that's okay. Just write some songs men can worship to. Watch the game with me, Lord. Just sit here in silence. No talking or questions. And fall asleep halfway through. Get me a Coke from the fridge, Lord. Get me a Coke from the fridge. Bring me some nachos with jalapenos. Oh, I would go to that church. Wouldn't that be awesome? But my testimonies are usually how I mess up, man. Remember, I was doing this show about 3 years ago, and it was this big deal. It was about this size, almost like 2,000 people. And I was doing this show, and after I did pretty good. And after the show, they took me to this room with this table, had a pen on it. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do here? And they said, well, we're going to let some people in, and we want you to sign autographs. And I said, okay, I can do that. And they did. They opened the door, like 100 people line up at that table for my autograph. I'm like, oh, sweet. I felt pretty good about myself. The first lady in the line, she walks up to me, and she goes, would you put your favorite Bible verse under your name for me? Just your name, and then put your favorite Bible verse underneath. Could you do that?
I'm like, okay. Sure.
Well, my favorite Bible verse is Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. That was my favorite verse. But that night, I forgot the verse. I just blanked on it. You know how sometimes, you know, like, sir, when you dress today. You know what I'm talking about? It's like your brain is... Yeah, it's just not working. So I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, it's Psalm something. I got to pick something. And I said, oh, I'll just have to make up a verse here. So I did. I picked Psalm 38, verse 7. Just picked it out of thin air. Psalm 38, 7. Okay, I did it. Like an idiot, I did them all that way. Tim Hawkins, Psalm 38, 7. Hope you enjoyed the show. So I'm driving home that night. I'm like, oh, Lord, I hope that was a good verse. Oh, Lord, could you change the scripture if it's not, just for one night? But he did not hear my prayer. So I get home, and I look up Psalm 38, verse 7. And to my horror, it says, lo, I have a painful disease in my loins. Oh, yuck it up. Thanks for the help. What are there, a billion verses in the Bible? And I chose that one. And I signed it 100 times. And sent it out in my own little mission field. Go! Take the word! Don't forget my loin problem! Build schools and hospitals! Don't forget my loin disease! Because you know those people looked it up. You know they did. They probably made a big deal out of it. Come on here, sit down, kids, sit down. We're gonna read this verse. Turn the TV off, get over here. Here it is, Psalm 38:7. Shh. It says life first, shh. It says, lo, I have a painful disease. I shook his hand. I shook his hand. I shook that pervert's hand. What was I doing? I knew I... See, look, some of you don't get that. Lo, I have a painful disease in my loin. Never gonna see that verse cross-stitched on a pillow.